Bible reading this morning is in Acts chapter 2. If you need a Bible and you don't have one, please put up your hand. One of our stewards will gladly bring one over to you. We're on page 1094 of the church Bibles, Acts 2, and we're going to read from verse 37. Now it is the day of Pentecost. Peter has been preaching to a large group of people. He's been telling them all about who the Lord Jesus is, why he came to this world, that he died, and he rose again, and that the Lord Jesus is Lord and King of the entire world. And we cut into verse 37, and it says this: when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Please take up your Bibles again at Acts chapter 2. And as we do that, let me pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. As I was preparing to speak on those verses this week, I was reminded of an email that a friend sent me some time ago, a friend who isn't a believer in the Lord Jesus. And he often gives me some friendly banter about how Christianity, he thinks, is dying. And he sent in his email some of those figures from the 2011 census about how the number of people who call themselves Christians in the UK is dropping and dropping with every year that passes. He found it amusing that of those who claim to be believers in Jesus, less than half thought that Jesus was a real live person who lived, who died, who rose again, and was the Son of God. Less than half of those who said they were Christians. He found it amusing that only 9% of people who said they were Christians actually went to a local church every week. Only 9% of people who say that they are followers of the Lord Jesus are in a local church week by week. Now, I know that you can make stats say lots of different things, but it confirms in many minds what loads of people are thinking, that Christianity is dying, that the local church is weak, is ineffectual, is irrelevant. Now, if we were to ask people why they don't come, I'm sure they would give a whole host of reasons. They might say they know nothing of the personal significance of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They might say that they don't think the Bible has anything relevant to say. They might say that other things are just more important, family time. And in our individualistic society, they may just say that the local church, well, it just doesn't meet my needs. And the temptation for local churches in trying to seem hip or relevant and cool and attractive is to stop being what the Lord Jesus wants them to be. The temptation is to water down the message, especially those bits about sin or judgment. The temptation might be to make something other than the Lord Jesus the main thing. The temptation might be to just miss out that bit about the Lord Jesus altogether. As we look at these verses in Acts 2, Luke, who wrote this book, wants us to be so certain about some things that we as a local church need to hear. He wants us to be utterly certain. Luke wants us to be certain that the local church was created by the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost, and it is made up of all of those who have accepted and trusted the Lord Jesus. Make no mistake about it, the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost creates himself a new community. This local church here in Enfield has been created by the Lord Jesus. And in any case, if we're in any doubt about what we are supposed to be, what we are supposed to be about as a community, the Lord Jesus wants to be certain that as he himself, not only has he created us as a local church, he is creating us. It is an ongoing process. He is transforming us in who we are and what we want to do. He changes us. He transforms our hearts as he creates this local church. As Peter preaches the good news of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, a new community from a huge diversity of backgrounds is created. A community that hadn't existed before, a community created through the words of the Lord Jesus, through his Spirit, as his people proclaim him. And each member of that new community is given two important gifts. Verse 38 tells us that as we accept the Lord Jesus, as we repent of our sins, we receive forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. As people repent, they receive forgiveness of sins, complete assurance, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every believer in the Lord Jesus has these two important gifts. The purpose of the Lord Jesus dying and rising was to create a new community that was special and holy to him. A people unlike any other. An essential part of God's plan for the world. And Jesus promises us this morning that that essential plan, his community, will continue to grow and grow and grow until the day he returns. This, therefore, is Jesus' church. We must let him shape it. It is not for us. In fact, it is really dangerous for us to chase after whatever might seem relevant or cool in an attempt to attract people. He must be the one who sets the agenda. So what kind of community does the Lord Jesus want us to be? Well, the Lord Jesus creates a new community with new devotion. Let's read verses 42 and 43 about this new community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. How can you tell if someone is a devoted follower of something? They spend time doing it. They love to do it. They speak about it. They spend their money on it. It affects what you do and where you will go. In my youth, I was a devoted follower of one of the Glasgow football teams. I spent a lot of my time on Saturdays at that particular stadium. I spent what money I had on the merchandise that the club produced. Before the internet, we had something called teletext. And I still remember the page number for that club. Such was my devotion. I won't tell you what it was. Being devoted to something means that we will invest our time and our money. It means that we will love, we will care, we will look out for, we will sacrifice other things to show how much we are devoted to that thing. when the risen Lord Jesus grants us the forgiveness of sins and gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are told he creates in us four new devotions that are all centered around him. Devotion to his teaching, devotion to his people, devotion to remembering him, devotion to relying on him day by day. Local churches are unashamedly centered around the Lord Jesus. They're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Here's the first one. You could say that these people were devoted to learning all about Jesus. Who were the apostles? The apostles had been carefully selected by the Lord Jesus himself. They were witnesses of the resurrection. Jesus had specially equipped them to lead and teach his new community. And their teaching was always Jesus-centered. It always spoke of his cross and resurrection. It was always calling people to come and follow him. It spoke of what Jesus is doing today. It spoke of what Jesus will do in the future and how all of that must impact our daily lives. It is Jesus-centered instruction and what it means for Christians to live in relationship with the Holy God and with each other. Now, we don't have the apostles physically here today, but we do have their teaching. It was so important that it was written down and recorded for us in the New Testament. And to be devoted to the apostles' teaching isn't just to fill our heads with knowledge. It's not just to learn so that we can be champion Bible trivial pursuit players. It's always to equip us to follow the Lord Jesus. It's always about us putting into practice what it is to be a follower of Jesus. So the first new devotion that Jesus created in them was to his teaching. The next one was that they were devoted to the fellowship, a word that we don't use very much. But it means that this new community were devoted to one another. They cared about one another. They shared with one another. They met up together. People who were hungry were fed. People who were destitute, had been kicked out by their families, were welcomed in by this new community. Sacrifices were made. New relationships were grown. Time was spent caring and sharing. They were also devoted to the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread was and is a special meal that Christians, at which Christians celebrate and remember all that the Lord Jesus has done for them by dying on a cross. You remember the story? The night before the Lord Jesus was crucified, his disciples were with him and they shared a special meal. And Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave thanks for it and broke it and passed it around. And he said to his disciples, as you eat this, remember me. This is a symbol of my body broken for you. Eat it and remember me. And whenever you eat it, remember me. And after supper, he took the cup of wine and he passed it round. And he says, this wine here is like my blood that's going to be poured out for you. Whenever you drink it to remember me. Now, we would call this communion or the Lord's Supper. It seems that these early Christians ate it as part of a meal together. We're not being commanded here how we must do it. But what we are being told is that we must constantly remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We must constantly remember that his death and resurrection is central to who we are, and we must thank him and praise him for it. Now, the last new devotion that the Lord Jesus created in them was prayer. They were devoted to being dependent on the Lord Jesus. In personal, private prayers, in public gatherings, like the prayer meeting, in families, the focus for this new community was that they were humbly reliant on the Lord Jesus. You see, these four new devotions in this community that the Lord Jesus created were all focused around him. Unashamedly, they were all about Jesus. There's another church not far from here who are advertising at the moment on the side of buses. And all it says on their advert is, it's all about Jesus. That's what this new community we're all about. That's what we are being told that we are all about. All about Jesus. In verse 43, we get that strange verse. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Now, it could just be this is descriptive of what's going on. But miracles are often there in the Bible to point. They're a signpost. They're often there to show us that what is happening is true. So if you think of the miracles of the Lord Jesus, when he does a miracle, it's usually to prove that his message is true, and it's usually to prove that he really is the Son of God. I don't think we're being told here that miracles are an everyday part of local church life. But I think at the start of this new community created by Jesus, these miracles are a great big signpost saying, this is what this new community should be devoted to. This is a rubber stamp from Jesus. Here is a sign of authenticity that this is what the new community should be, devoted to his teaching, to his people, to remembering him, and to praying, to calling out to him. Now, it seems to me that we might not be naturally devoted to these four things. I certainly am, as I thought this week. You see, deep down, probably in my heart, I still want to be devoted more to that Glasgow football team. It's the Lord Jesus, as he creates this new community, as he gives me the grants me forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, he starts to create in me a new heart that is devoted to these new things. It is with Jesus' help, through his Spirit, that I become devoted to these four things. I need my heart to be transformed by Jesus. So as I turn to his words in the morning, to the apostles' teaching, and my heart feels cold and dry, I need to call out, Lord Jesus, would you give me a passion for your teaching, for your words, that I might know and understand it, that I might do what it says. As I come to church and I hear the sermons, there are all sorts of things that could be throwing through my head. You know, I may just want to use that time to sleep. I may want to use that time to doodle on a little bit of paper. Or maybe it's just something to get through until you can speak to your friends at the end. No, I want to say, Lord Jesus, I need your help. I need your teaching. I want to follow you. I want to be passionate about your words. Would you give me that passion? And then would I do it? Lord, would you give me the heart, that passionate heart for your words that would make me, help me come to table talk on a Tuesday night? Perhaps on a Sunday evening, the television's become a bit more attractive than coming out to meet with the Lord's people. Perhaps it was something you did once, but other things have taken over. Lord, would you give me that passion for your word, that devotion that means I would want to come and then do what it is that you tell me to do? Lord Jesus, would I love my brothers and sisters? Would I be devoted to them? If I hear of their needs, whether they are ill and they need a little visit, whether they need a meal, whether they need a lift to church, would I be devoted to them? Lord Jesus, would I never forget the central place of remembering you and your sacrifice on the cross? When I come to communion, would it thrill my heart to remember you again? Lord Jesus, create in me that devotion to call out daily for your help. Would I love to pray? Would I not think my security rests on money, on my job? Would I not think that these things provide my daily needs? Lord Jesus, you provide my daily needs. Would you create in me that devotion to pray? Now, the simple question is, are we really devoted to these things? If you have accepted the Lord Jesus and been given the forgiveness of your sins and the Holy Spirit, are these four things, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayer, are these the things that mark you out as a believer in the Lord Jesus? Are these the things that you're devoted to? Are these the things that as a local church we are doing? Well, if they're not, we need to call out to him and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness and ask that he would transform us so that we would do them. So the Lord Jesus creates a new community with new devotion, but he also creates a new community with new relationships. See, we see in verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. This here is a tube of superglue. Okay, if you can't see it right at the back, believe me, that is a tube of superglue. Superglue, as you know, is really strong. And just about any time I've ever used superglue, I've managed to stick my fingers together. And it hurts to prise them apart. And when you stick something together with superglue, it is almost impossible again to wedge those things apart. As people trusted in the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost and forgiven of their sins and given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus made a strong bond between us and him, like a super glue bond. We're united with the Lord Jesus. But he also created a strong super glue bond between myself and other believers. Think of the way the New Testament describes the local church, this new community, a building. What holds a building together? It's mortar and cement and concrete and nails. Strong bonds. A family. That's how the New Testament talks about the local church. And lots of us know the strong bonds that exist between family. Another way that the New Testament speaks of the local church is a body. And what knits a body together is not just bone, but things like skin and blood and flesh and ligaments and cartilage and all those things. The bond that exists between Christians, that super glue that holds us together, is stronger than even the bonds of our physical families, the Bible says. And this super glue bond that we have together will affect our behavior in two big ways. Number one is that we will meet together. That's what we read in this new community we're doing. They met together. They met in public gatherings like the temple. They met privately in people's homes. They praised Jesus together. They worked hard at making relationships that count. They hung out. They didn't just meet up for the sake of having a church service. They were genuinely interested in each other's lives. They opened the door and welcomed each other in. They provided hospitality. They met up during the week. They didn't just wander in and out of church, not speaking to anyone, not caring. They were actively involved in each other's lives. But they also shared together. That's the second big thing. They had everything in common and people sold goods. A few chapters later, we're told about a man called Barnabas. He sold a field so that the money could be put into this pot for caring for believers. Hungry people were fed, destitute people were clothed. They realized that following Jesus would be costly. They realized that following Jesus was all about being part of this new community. Now, before I quickly say that this isn't a blanket call for us all to go home and sell our houses, put it on the market, and give it to the local church. It's not, because it says that there were still homes that they met together in. But it is a challenge that we still have to look out for one another, that we still have to care and share, that those who are poor, those who have needs, where we as a local church are supposed to do something about that. We're supposed to look after our brothers and our sisters. Sharing together out of love was what marked these people as Jesus' disciples. Where do I feel the pinch of this in my own life? You know what it's too easy for me to say? I'm too busy. I've got sermons to write. I've got to look after Tricia. I've got a huge garden at home. There's football on the telly. I'm too busy for you. And you may be the same. You may be thinking, you know, I've got work. I've got the kids. I'm too busy for the people that are in here. No. The Lord Jesus creates a new community with new relationships. We should be generous with what the Lord Jesus has given us. Yes, it's time consuming. Yes, it will cost us sacrificially. But this is what Jesus is doing with us. We are to share with one another. We are to care. We are to bear each other's burdens. If someone is sad, we share in that with them. If someone is rejoicing, we share in that with them together. There's a phrase that Nathan often uses called the giving go-round. Is that right, Nath? Yeah, the giving go-round. Everything we have comes from the Lord Jesus. And we should be generous because he's generous. And we pass that on to other believers as our generous Lord Jesus has done to us. And so they pass it on. And so the giving goes round. This generosity. This is supposed to mark us out as members of this new community. So if people are sick, could I provide a meal? The reality is I probably couldn't, but you get the idea. If someone needs a lift to church, could you do that? The person you're sitting beside this morning, maybe you don't know them. A good place to start would say, hello, my name is. Perhaps you could provide some babysitting on a Tuesday night so that a couple could come together to the hub or to the prayer meeting. Could you meet to pray with someone? Could you serve in the young people's groups? Maybe you could serve in a welcome desk and point others in helpful directions. These verses tell me that this new community that the Lord Jesus has created, it's not about Lone Ranger Christians who never get involved in each other's lives. Now, I know people can't get out to church for health reasons. I'm not speaking about them. I'm speaking about the times we come in here and leave and choose not to be involved in anyone else's life. We are a joined to each other community, created by the Lord Jesus, joined by the Lord Jesus. And can I say, one of the biggest ways that you can show that you are part of this community, that you are part of it, who we are, is becoming a church member. I know there will be people here this morning who think this is their local church, but who have never joined. By becoming a church member, you're willing to say, I am recognizing myself, I am associating myself with this group of local Christians. I am part of their community. I want to share my life with theirs. I want to care for them. I want to submit under the authority of the elders. I am willing to stand with my brothers and sisters in this new community. Now, the last thing about this community that Lord Jesus has created is that it is a community with new members. It's a community with new members. Look at the end of verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. A growing community, it seems, is a vital part of our community. It seems that we should expect new members to join in the same way that the grass grows outside, or that for some of you the hair grows in your head. It should be normal. It should be frequent. It should be ongoing. You know, sometimes you hear these verses and you think that, well, if we do 42 to 46 well, then as a reward for being good, the Lord Jesus will help us to grow. No, just as Jesus creates a new community, it is He, as it were, who creates new members for that new community. You and I cannot save and add anyone to this new community. It is Jesus who is at work through His Spirit, by His Word, who brings men and women to repentance and faith in Him. It is only He who creates new members of this community. And I think that's why we're being told of that phrase right at the end, those who were being saved. Being saved. It's a strange way of putting it. But it's telling us that there are three tenses to salvation. I have been saved as I trust in the Lord Jesus and His death on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I am saved out of the rebellious community that I was part of, and I am brought in to this new community. There is peace with God. And that happened as Jesus died and rose again. I have been saved. But there's also the tense of I am being saved daily. A process has started in my heart as I learn from the apostles' teaching, as I meet with this new community, as I remember the Lord Jesus, as I call out to Him. Day by day, I find that I am increasingly saved from my sinful desires. Every day, I am being saved. And of course, that future tense of salvation, I will be saved. Ultimately, when the Lord Jesus returns and sin is no more, that final battle is done and dusted. And all of it is from the Lord Jesus. The work of adding to His community is not ours, it is His. But, and here it is, every day He amazingly uses His created community to reach new people. I don't know if you noticed, but it says that this new community were a praising community. It says right at the start of verse 47, they were praising God. Luke uses that term praise far more broadly than we do. You see, when we think of praise, we think of singing. That's right, isn't it? We would usually think of singing. But Luke uses it far, far more broadly. You see, Luke uses it through his book, his gospel, and through Acts to mean that when the Lord Jesus has done something brilliant, we declare it, we proclaim it, we open our mouths and speak about the Lord Jesus. So if you think of Simeon, when the Lord Jesus was born, and Jesus turns up at the temple to be circumcised, Simeon opens his mouth and praises God. When lepers come to Jesus and are healed, they open their mouths and praise God. When blind men, their eyes are opened, they praise Jesus, they open their mouths. When a paralyzed man is healed, he opens his mouth and praises Jesus. Praise in Luke and the book of Acts is almost indistinguishable from what we would call evangelism. And what people in this new community were opening their mouths and praising God and telling people about Jesus was all that He had done. if you get time this afternoon, have a look at what Peter was preaching through the rest of this chapter in Acts 2. He says that Jesus was God's Son who was sent to this earth to rescue people from their sins. And he was crucified. And he took the punishment for all those who would trust and believe in him. And he was raised again to new life, to bring peace with God and to promise eternal life and a new chance, a new start, a clean slate with the living God. And he promises that if I confess my sin and accept the Lord Jesus, then I will be saved. And as the new members of this community shared this message, the Lord Jesus broke new ground. Other people became members of this new community as they spread this message. How did it happen? One person at a time. And as I thought this week, that I need to be someone who is praising the Lord Jesus, opening my mouth and telling others. I thought, who is the one person? Now, it could be more, but who is the one person that I need to tell Jesus to this week? Maybe it's a mum, another mum at the school gates. Maybe it's the postman. Maybe it's a family member who thinks they have heard it all before. Maybe it's someone who's a complete stranger. Maybe it's a work colleague. Most of us will have in mind at least one person that we should be opening our mouths and telling about Jesus, that they too might be saved and added, that the Lord Jesus would do that miracle in their lives and transform them and bring them into his new community. The local church is a community that the Lord Jesus creates with new devotion, with new relationships, with new members. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, I'd be surprised if any of this was new to you. But as we close, I want to ask, what is your life devoted to? Is it devoted to these four things? Do you need to ask Jesus that he would transform you and keep on transforming you, that you would be devoted to him? Perhaps you're a Christian, you've never become a member of EEFC. Please come and speak to Nathan and I. We'd love to chat to you about that right now. Perhaps you're here and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, not yet. But today you've realized that he is calling you and that he is saving you and he is adding you to this new community. Would you call out and ask for his forgiveness? Would you ask that he would forgive every one of your sins, that you would turn from them and trust in him and come and join us today? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that as we trust in the Lord Jesus, he forgives our sins and gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he brings us into his new created community. We ask that today you would help us to be devoted to it. That you would be transforming our hearts. That we would love the teaching of the Lord Jesus. That we would love his people as he loves them. That we would love to remember him. And that we would call out to him. Please forgive us when we've been devoted to other things. please forgive our many sins this morning. Father God, help us to build these relationships with one another. May we see that we are connected to each other through the Lord Jesus. Would we care for one another and share with each other? Would we not be too busy? Would we just not care? Please, would that never enter into our minds? And Father God, we ask that you continue to grow your church. We ask that even this morning, new members would be added here in Enfield. And as we leave, may we be those who open our mouths and proclaim the Lord Jesus to others, that they too might be saved and added. In Jesus' name we pray these things. And it's for his glory we ask. Amen.